Anyway, if you would, turn with me to Acts, would you? The 8th chapter this morning. It's good to be here. It's been a while since I've every now and then I get to preach. It's been different. I've been an associational missionary. But I enjoy it every time, and one thing about it, you get to be in different fellowships, and that's really special in its own way. I am going to deal with something I think you know, but you say, well, why would you deal with something that you think we know? One is to encourage folks. Folks, we just need to always, that's one of the things we do, through preaching the Word and through going through things that we've gone through many times before, is encourage people. The title of this message is Go Tell Others About Jesus. And we're going to look in the 8th chapter. Now, I'm going to read about four verses here. The 4th through the 8th, and then we're going to jump over to the 26th verse. And the reason I want to do this, I want to just mention, you know, I'm going to talk about going. And then, but I want to just kind of mention before I start out, you know, the Bible, the commission that Jesus gave the disciples was to go, okay? The great commission that we talk about in Matthew, as we read, where he gives the great commission to the church and tells them to go and tell others about Jesus and disciple them, to baptize them. Well, it just says go, all right? But you know, there's as you go, and then there's sometimes, we'll look here in a little bit, sort of divine appointment where God takes one individual and says, go here, okay? I want to read this verse here, because this is as you go kind of thing. See, the church began after the stoning of Stephen. If you read in the 7th chapter, Stephen was stoned to death for preaching the gospel. Okay, and then persecution mounted, and the church. Now we're going to pick up with that, and it says those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. As they were being persecuted, the church began to scatter, and it says, and everywhere they went, they preached the word. Now let me just simply say, in your day-to-day life, whether it's by force or you just going to work or you're going to school, everywhere you go, as you go, you ought to be ready to tell others about Jesus. All right? And so it goes on and says, and Philip went down to the city in Samaria and proclaimed the message there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said, for with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lamed were healed. So there was great joy in the city. But as you go, remember, as you go through this life, those day-to-day things that you do, and in here, you know, there's many different occupations, and we have many different routes in our life. You have opportunity to share, and you should be sharing as you go. We're going to look a little bit, though, today about divine appointment. And that is, God told Philip, and we're going to see this as we read, he says, I want you to go to a certain place. He didn't even tell him who he was going to see. He just told him to go. Kind of like him telling Abraham. When he told Abraham, just pick up and go, and I'll tell you later where you're going. Here in the 26th verse, it says, now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means the queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near to it. When Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, Do you understand what you are reading? Philip said. How can I? He said, unless someone explains to me. So he invited Philip up to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And when Philip began with the very message, a very passage of the scripture, and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The Ethiopian eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What can stand in the way of being baptized? He gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the Ethiopian eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Sotis and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Interesting story. I think it's interesting first that Philip's kind of in the middle of a revival, I guess you could say. We might call it a revival. There's a lot of people being saved. And you wouldn't think that's the time God would tell him to leave and go someplace else. God does do the unusual. And sometimes we need to take note of that. Just be tentative, listening. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we're ready to do what he wants us to do. See, for us to really be involved in divine appointment, we need to really be following Jesus and not our own plan. Philip, the Bible tells us in other passages, was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He was a godly man who was letting God lead him. Every one of us ought to be letting the Holy Spirit lead us. You know, we sometimes forget what it means to follow. Jesus, speaking in Luke the 9th chapter, he says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to put your own plans aside a lot of times. You're going to have to kind of live where he is first. Oh, he is first. He is boss. He is Lord. We call him Lord. We sang songs sometime. Follow, follow. I don't remember. How many of you ever sung that song? You know, follow, follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow him. Hey, the Lord is calling us to follow him anywhere and everywhere, just like the song. And so Philip, listening to the Holy Spirit, was ready to follow him. So he leaves this revival to go down on an appointment that God has set up. Now, it doesn't matter that they're not like you. That is, when God tells you to go to somebody, they don't have to. You need to be ready, whoever he sends you to. Okay? You need to be willing to love them just like Jesus loved them. Now, he's going down to an Ethiopian eunuch. He doesn't know that yet. He's not a Jew, race-wise, or really Jew wasn't so much a race as it was a faith. He's different. Now, it didn't stop him. You know, some people, just because somebody's not like them or don't look like them or don't act like them, they let that stop them. But your love for God and love for others ought to compel you to want to tell others, no matter who they are, about Jesus. Knock down every barrier that you would ever have. Push far beyond that. And you know, most of all the other barriers you can cross with love anyway. It's most of the time we got to deal with our own barriers. We get our own barriers down and we approach people with love and respect. We can go a long ways. Anyway, your witness will change history and impact generations for nations. Just think about that. You say, well, what can I do to make a difference? What can you do? Win one person to Christ and disciple him, and him win another person to Christ and disciple him, and you continue witness and sharing and reaching people, and he continues witness and sharing and reaching people. Can you understand how it multiplies? Here he just told one Ethiopian eunuch, who, by the way, was over the treasury of Ethiopia, was under Candace, the queen. Can you imagine the impact he could have? You do not know that when you share Christ, the impact you might have with the rest of the world. The Ethiopian eunuch. Well, history tells us there was a church in Ethiopia. Okay? Wonder where that came from. Notice something about this Ethiopian. He was religious, but he still needed Jesus. In our culture today, a lot of people say they believe in God. And I just simply say, you do need to believe in God. That's a beginning. We need to believe there's a creator. That opens the door. Matter of fact, that makes it easy a lot of times. It's easier to share Jesus. But he did not know Jesus. He was reading out of a passage that spoke about Jesus prophetically, but he did not know Jesus. And you know, it's not just good enough that man believes there is a God. James says, thou believest there is a God, the devil believes, fears. The devil believes there is a God, and he fears and trembles, or his devils, okay, believe, and they fear, and they tremble. Well, the devil does that much. And God's asking you to put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. God's asking you to let him be the Lord of your life. John, in John, the 14th chapter, the 6th verse, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. So, Phillips is meeting the Ethiopian eunuch because he needs to hear about Jesus. And that was God's plan. And this man was searching. And I tell you, when people begin to search, and if you're here and you don't know Christ this morning, if you will honestly begin to search and look for God, you'll find God. The scripture says, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Reading the word out of a desire to know God and find God is the right way to find God and come to know God. Romans, the 10th chapter, the 17th verse says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you can get a friend who is interested, if you can just get him a New Testament a lot of times and get it into their hands and say, hey, once you start reading here in the Gospel of John, God will use that if that person is really seeking. Now, you have the responsibility to come to somebody and, like Philip, and be able to open the Word and rightly divide the Word, rightly explain the Word and teach it. So therefore, you as a believer need to be studying the Word. I just simply say that if you come to church and that's all you're doing, and you're not doing your own personal study at home, you're not going to get there. Okay? And not only that, I'll tell you, you're not abiding in Christ and you're not walking with Christ. You say, oh, Pastor, I come every Sunday. I'm just telling you that there's a lot of Word and you're just not going to get it coming to church on Sunday morning. I'm not saying you're not supposed to come to church on Sunday morning. I'm telling you that in your homes, you need to open the Word and study it so you'll be prepared, so you can rightly divide the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study the Word, okay? So we'll rightly divide the Word. So we'll be able to teach somebody. That's the whole idea. Ready to tell others about Jesus. Look with me in the 29th verse. It says, and then the Spirit told Philip to go to the chariot and stand near. Now, remember the Lord had already sent an angel to tell Philip, hey, go. Philip was attentive, and he went. He got up and left. But he didn't know really where he was going, except he was going down the desert, where you probably wouldn't expect to find too many people. When he got down there, Philip saw the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Holy Spirit told him to go join himself to the chariot. That is, move up close to the chariot and to the Ethiopian eunuch. And when God prompts you with His Holy Spirit, when He speaks to your heart, you need to respond promptly. Because that opportunity that He's given you, that open door, that divine appointment could pass. You have to still follow through with what God is asking and how He's leading you. You need to be prepared to give your testimony. Now, we don't hear a lot of the conversation. The Scripture tells us that, well, Philip climbed up in there, and it tells us where the passage and where the Ethiopian was reading at that very moment, which is out of Isaiah 53, by the way, verses 7 through 8. But that whole chapter of Isaiah is a prophetic passage about Christ. And I can only assume that after he read this much, he probably backed up and started telling him more and started explaining the passages down. And then Philip probably got to that point, and he says, and we saw him. And we touched him. John talks about that in 1 John. Giving a personal testimony, he says, we're talking about somebody that we saw with our very eyes. We touched him. We heard him. And when he rose from the grave, we saw him. We touched him. We heard him. So you need to be given ready your testimony of how and why Christ came into your life. How you got saved. Maybe where you were at that point in your life and the difference he made in your life. Paul talks of, he was talking to King Agrippa in Acts, the 26th chapter. Paul starts out talking about, you know, he was persecuting the church. You can imagine how the Lord used that. He said, and King, I know you know about these things. And then he told him about his experience on Damascus Road and the change in his life and what Christ had done. He gave testimony. What Christ has done in your life personally is a powerful witness. That is, when you give testimony of what Christ has done in your life, how he saved you, that's a powerful thing that God has given you. God works through that. When you're taking your life and exalting Christ before somebody else, people pay attention. You may not have an immediate convert, but you have definitely planted a seed. The Scripture said, Paul is talking about, you know, him and Apollos. One waters, one plants, the other waters, but it's always God that gives the increase. When you look at this passage also, it shows you something else. As we read the look down in our 32nd and 33rd verse, realize that we're looking at a story about Jesus. And I'm not going to try to go over there this morning and open up that passage and read all that. But it is talking about the lamb that was led to slaughter and taken out of justice. That's speaking about Jesus. And so he opens up and begins to share about Jesus there out of Isaiah. The Gospels in the Old Testament by the way. Okay? We always think about it. Prophetically, it's in the Old Testament. Symbolically, it's in the Old Testament. If you study the tabernacle, you'll realize it's in the Old Testament. Some people, by the way, today, and there are some that go around saying, well, there's no need to read the Old Testament. Just need to read the New Testament. Let me just simply say, the Bible says in the New Testament that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and correction, instruction, and righteousness. It's good for all of us that we'd be built up in the Lord and strong. So the gospel is there, and if some reason you find yourself in the Old Testament, you can, and somebody's reading like here, you got the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. You can pick up on that and move right to Jesus. That's the reason it's important for you to study the Word and spend time on it and meditate in it. Now, when we get to the passage here, it says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look here. Here is water. Let me back up. I jumped too far. All right. The Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. That, remember what he's saying? The Old Testament. And right there, that's what he took. He took the Old Testament and started talking about Jesus. Now, we don't know what all they said, as I said, and I think he probably opened up and expounded that whole chapter there. He talked about Jesus dying. And he probably went beyond that and talked about his, and not only talking about the crucifixion, there's talks a lot about that, the reason he died, because it talks about he died for our sins in that passage. And then he probably got into that of the resurrection and went on. It says that they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Now, I don't know if you got an NIV, and I'm using the NIV this morning. Mine, when it gets to the 37th verse, it puts it down at the bottom and says it's not in some manuscripts, but I read it in there this morning. And I think we had it put in the PowerPoint. It said it was not in some older manuscripts. And so when you're reading the Bible, sometimes it's good to look at those footnotes. I personally believe it was there. And it says, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the Ethiopian eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When it came to that point, there's something I wanted to mention. A lot of times people get confused. You read Romans, and Paul says in Romans, the 10th chapter, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You wonder why he didn't say, something else is said different in Acts. And why did Jesus just say, believe on the Lord, believe? It says, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. And I want you to understand there's a difference between a Jew who's always been brought up with Scripture, okay, and a Gentile who has never had Scripture. See, when a Jew, and realize this Ethiopian is really what he is. He is a converted Ethiopian. He's converted to Judaism. And that's the reason he went up to worship. And it would be an unusual thing for most even Jews to have their own scripture. That was very expensive. I mean, books weren't printed, they were hand copied. And so he was a devout man and willing to expend a lot of money to get that truth. But he had a background in Scripture. And he knew if this is the Messiah, he is Lord. You don't have to talk about Lordship. He knows that if he's the Savior, he's Lord. And what he says goes. You don't have to explain. But when Paul writes over to Romans, He's speaking to mostly Gentiles. Now, there were Jews there. You know, Paul always went to the synagogue first in all these communities and preached Jesus. And most of the time, they rejected him, and he'd go preach to Gentiles. And sometimes there'd be Gentiles there who'd come to Judaism, and they, just like this Ethiopian, and they were ready to accept the Messiah. And so Paul says in Romans, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, and believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's a little bit different, but it's only because of their knowledge. Not because they're saved any other way. It was so they would understand that when they accepted him as their Savior, they were accepting him as the Lord of their life. That's reading. James comes back and he says something like I mentioned a while ago in the second chapter, 19th verse. Thou believest there is a God, thou doest well. The devil also believes, fears, and trembles. James' point is more, if you really believe, there ought to be works. There ought to be evidence. There ought to be things in your life that show that they've been a change in your life. Don't just go around and say, I believe in God. There need to be a change in your life. A change that is brought about by Jesus Christ. That's the reason Luke. Luke, when Jesus spoke in the 9th chapter, he says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So there, Jesus is affirming. He says, hey, you're going to have to, I'm going to be the one you're going to be following. I'm Lord of your life. I have a plan. And by the way, God has a personal plan for your life. Your cross is God's will for your life. God has a cross for you to bear. It's His will for your life. And when you follow that, there are going to be some difficulty. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some heartache. And He's promised that. Not that He's causing it. He's just saying, if you're going to live in this world is hostile to you. Will be hostile to you if you serve me. But this Ethiopian hears the gospel and he believes. He puts his faith and trust in him as his Lord and Savior. Wow. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, look here, is water. What stands in my way of being baptized? And as we read the scripture, he says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The Ethiopian answered and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to mention something here. This is a difference, by the way. There are a lot of churches that baptize the child. They baptize an infant. This is where Baptists find a difference. Because all the scripture, it's always conversion and then baptism. And that's the reason he said we've done it different all these years than some. It's always been when you read the scripture, they get saved. They make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And then they follow him. In believer's baptism. We call it believer's baptism because you believe first and then you follow him in baptism. You understand then what baptism means. Because it symbolizes Christ washing away our sins, us being baptized, immersed by the Holy Spirit into his church. And so he stops, and the Ethiopian did not, it says, and then they. Baptism. When they came out of the water, let's back up just a minute. He gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch went into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. Now let me just simply say, there's another reason we baptize, immerse. Because that's what he did here. That's what Jesus did in Jordan River. Okay. Now, obviously, if you could sprinkle, you could do that anywhere. But here's water. And they didn't have to get all that wet then. They could have just, it wasn't enough. And all I'm saying is that I like doing it the way the Scripture says. All right, as much as I can. I guess if I was someplace and all I had was a teacup to be baptized in, I would do it. Okay? If that's all I had. But that's not what most people have here, is it? In the biggest part of the world. We can do it like the Scripture, and I tend to want to follow the Scripture. God may have a divine appointment for you as a believer to share Christ with somebody. But if you're not spending time along with Him in the Word and in prayer, you'll miss that. And not only will you miss that, just think about the lives that might be changed. Not just the one soul that you might win to Christ, but the souls He might win to Christ. You never know. You might be the layperson that led somebody that's going to have the impact like a Billy Graham. You might lead somebody to the Lord who is a lot like Paul. Just absolutely hostile towards Christians. But change and the transformation is a tremendous testimony. And God used them in a mighty way. I know many Christians right now are worried about their nation. And I've wondered time how we got here. Haven't you? They say that most Christians have not shared their faith. Most Christians hardly ever witness. Maybe that's the way it got here. Well, the only way to do the change that is for us to make up our mind that we're going to, as we go, tell others about Jesus. And when God lays somebody on our heart, we're going to tell somebody about Jesus. But that starts really with us spending time with our Lord in prayer and in His Word, so we're ready. Ready to hear the Spirit and ready to respond. Let Him transform our lives and do a great work in our lives. Go tell. My brothers, go tell. And if you're here without Christ this morning, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Sent His only begotten Son to die upon the cross for you. Pay for your sins, just like He had to pay for my sins. Offers you eternal life, forgiveness. Ask you to accept Him. He's asking you to accept Him as His Lord and Savior, both. This morning, if you want to do that, we're going to close with a word of prayer, and you can do it as we pray. And if you're a believer here this morning, I ask you, how is your telling as you're going doing? Are you being a witness as you go? When's the last time God's given you a divine appointment? Go. Tell. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's all stand. Father, we come this morning, and Lord, just for any here that may be here this morning without Christ as their Lord and Savior, we ask You, Lord, to help them this morning, that they would just ask You. As Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That they would just ask You to save them and give them eternal life, and them submit their lives to You. For them, Lord, to follow You as Lord. And we just pray, Lord, help them to pray that prayer this morning and follow You in believers' baptism. Then we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for all that are here, that are believers. We ask, Lord, help us to be bold witnesses. Help us to spend time in the Word and in prayer that is seeking your face, drawing close to you. So, Lord, we're attentive to the working of the Holy Spirit through His leading, and obedient and prompt to respond. And ready, because we've spent time in the Word, to just simply open the Word of God and share with them that it's the lost, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, you love us and you love them. And you sent your Son to die for all. And we want to be faithful of telling others and loving them like you love them. All this we pray in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.